Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Craig Burley. Nader Manure will be joining us a little later on to reflect on a very convincing performance from Manchester City. Plus, we'll be looking back at Manchester United moving up the Premier League table after a home win against Brighton. We'll kick things off, though, in Paris. It was kind of the marquee game, wasn't it, when the draw was made. PSG against Real Madrid, the round of 16, first leg of the Champions League, did not live up to its billing. Not the greatest of matches of all, but PSG won't care in the end, because in the end they will take a 1-0 lead to the Spanish capital. Kylian Mbappe, who in fact won a penalty earlier in the second half that was missed by Lionel Messi, Mbappe would do it alone just before the final whistle, meaning 1-0 going into that tie in Madrid. As we welcome to discuss this, Ali Moreno and Frank Leboeuf are with us. Before we hear for those boys, Craig, this wasn't the greatest, was it?
No, but I don't think it's as big a surprise as some would think or expected, because neither of these sides have been brilliant, particularly Real Madrid of late, even though if you look at La Liga and you didn't watch and say, oh, they're top and they're doing well, you think, oh, great. They haven't been playing, as you well know, they haven't been playing brilliantly. They didn't play well at the weekend against Villarreal. In fact, they got a pasting in the first half. So there was no surprise the way they played. There was no surprise that PSG dominated, and obviously down the left-hand side, particularly early on with Mbappe, was a huge threat. And also the lack of energy and legs in the middle of the park for long periods for Real Madrid was a problem. And I just thought, they get back to the Bernabeu, 0-0, they'll be happy. But I think it's a problem for them now, because PSG can be cute and clever in the second leg, and there's no Casemiro, and more importantly, there's no Ferland Mendy. And if you watched the Villarreal game at the weekend and saw Marcelo's performance, you'd know why.
Ali, there was really one player who stood out, not only getting the winning goal, but throughout this game. Really impressive stuff once again from Kylian Mbappe.
And it all started very early for Kylian Mbappe. The first significant touch that he had on the ball was facing up against Dani Carvajal. Took him to the inside, took him to the outside. Dani Carvajal was spinning all over the place. He didn't know what to do, and he was concerned and afraid the rest of the game, because he knew that the change of pace of Kylian Mbappe is just too much to handle. Now, the truth of the matter is that when you watch PSG play, you may think, this is perhaps Lionel Messi's team. This is perhaps Neymar's team. Nah, this is Kylian Mbappe's team. He is the real source of danger for them. Lionel Messi is now at this point of his career where he has become a facilitator, and every so often he'll create for himself. But he's mostly looking for the through balls, and the one guy who's going to get on the end of those through balls is going to be Kylian Mbappe. And in the end, he splits the two defenders, opens up his body, finds that far post, 1-0, and once again, confirmation of what we already knew. This is Kylian Mbappe's team. It's not Messi's, it's not Neymar's.
One of the best players in the world, Frank, no doubt.
Well, I don't like to name the players like that, because you all know that we don't play in the same position. But for sure, the most entertaining player, and he showed it today. And I agree with Ali. It's not the PSG of Messi or Neymar, but it's been, and for since the beginning of the season, the Mbappe's team. And, you know, when he scored the goal, I said, well, you're a professional player. Because we all wondered, you know, how it will be, you know, behaving, I would say, in front of maybe his future club. He's been spot on from this first second. He did what he had to do. He was a professional. He scored the winning goals. He created a penalty. He was the main threat. He did what he had to do. And I tell you, the bigger threat that Madrid is going to face within 2 weeks will be maybe one of his future. So that's going to be very interesting to see how Mbappe can finish them and sign for Madrid after that.
How good was the goal?
I don't think it'll be a problem for him, but as Frank said, tongue in cheek. you know, he could kill them off. And he's going to be going to them. But I think Madrid fans, if that's the case, we'll just have to accept that he is a game changer. And we saw in Pires today that blockbuster pace and change of gear and skill and quick feet, that why they're all after him, why Madrid are probably going to get him. The goal was brilliant from his perspective. It was abysmal from Lucas Vazquez and particularly Militao. Yeah. Militao, being the more natural defender, gets out there to double up and then just dangles a leg. Once you get out there to double up with Vazquez, you've got to make sure he's in the right position and you're in the right position, and there's no way through the middle. If he's going to score, he's going to have to cut back inside onto the right towards the edge of the box and curl Saham in the top corner. He cannot go through a gap like that. But he managed to wiggle his way through, got a little deflection. But it was interesting, in the first half, I jokingly said to you, when Messi played that great ball over the top for him and he had a touch which didn't quite get out his feet, you said, why didn't he dive?
Yeah.
And I said, because he knows he's going to Real Madrid and he won't want to leave a bad taste in his mouth. If he does something brilliant, I think the Madrid fans will accept it, but I think he's clever enough to know, let's not be accused of anything in a cheating form in this game. Let's keep it by the book and do our business. But from Real Madrid's point of view, I said to you also, and I'm not blaming Karim Benzema because it was other parts of the team, but he wasn't fit. He didn't look fit. No. I don't think, I mean, somebody will need to get some stats out for me or some Prozone or something and show me where he was sprinting at 100%. I always felt watching him, and I know this from a playing perspective, anybody who's had a hamstring problem and comes back really quickly is always thinking about that explosive sprint.
Right.
And when you've got a player up front who potentially is not fit or fully fit, you've got to get runners from the midfield. And they haven't got anybody in the middle of the park that can run beyond Karim Benzema if he was, say, 80%.
Frank, I know you want to talk about Benzema and Real Madrid. I just want to just focus on PSG a little longer. And in particular, Ali, it feels like a lifetime ago that we were sat here discussing the fact that Mbappe apparently was throwing his toys out the pram, not happy that Messi was coming in and taking all the attention away from him. And as you boys all say, it is now Mbappe's side. Where does that leave Messi? How would we assess Messi's performance today?
Leaves them in an uncomfortable position of being second best. And while we think of Lionel Messi as a tremendous team player, we don't always think of him sort of in the same Ronaldo picture when we think, you know, it's either Ronaldo or it's not happening, that Messi seems to kind of, over the year, have created this image of a guy that he is more about the team than he is about himself. Well, he's going to have to prove it now because he is... Again, and I can't stress this enough, this is no longer about Messi running at people or running to get away from defenders or taking players on. This is about Messi now dropping off in a playmaking position and him being able to spray balls around. That's the game that now Lionel Messi has to be able to execute for PSG so that then Kylian Mbappe can do the things that he does naturally. Lionel Messi has to change his game, has to manage his game in a different way, and has to adjust to what the reality of his career is right now. He's no longer the explosive guy that we saw in the past. He is now a facilitator. He's now a passer of the ball. If he does that well, then Mbappe benefits and PSG benefits as well.
I thought Neymar looked quite sharp when he came on as well, which is also a concern, bearing in mind we've got a couple of weeks before the next game, and the no Casemiro, which is massive. Mm-hmm. You know, who comes in? Is it Valverde that comes in, or is it Camavinga, who has played recently but was taken off? What does Ancelotti do? What the hell does he do in the fullback position? Because, again, Marcelo got an absolute roasting at the weekend.
How would you assess Messi today?
Yeah, I mean, little bits and pieces, but not the game-changing stuff that we once knew.
Right.
And I think, look, if they go all the way to the Champions League final and have success, and we don't know, they're not the favourites, but they have a heck of a lot of talent, and he doesn't have to carry the burden, and others do, maybe he can accept that now as somebody in their 30s and go, well, you know, tell you what, I've done it for a decade, so it's up to somebody else, I can play a peripheral role. Not everybody's happy with that, but maybe he's just having to come to accept that now. And as I say, I would imagine all three of those players, the front three, will play in the Bernabeu.
Yeah.
And so you know, he may just take a bit of a back seat to the other two. Who knows?
Frank, is this kind of, does this epitomise Messi so far at PSG?
What it is, you know, we said before that he needs to settle down. You know, we're going to have we have to give him some time. But really, when I watch him today, I said, okay, now we realize that Messi is not the Messi from yesterday. And as Ali said, he has to change his game in order to be not as performant, but still crucial in the game of Paris Saint-Germain. He has to serve their best player at front, which is Mbappe. He has to change in a way that none of the players in Paris Saint-Germain will serve him, because they know that he cannot do what he used to do. So it's up to him, like Ronaldo did a little bit when he signed for Juventus, changing his game, knowing that his space is not there anymore. And Messi has to go for that, otherwise we're not going to see Messi for a long time playing at the top level. He has to change, otherwise he's going to disappear.
This is, of course, the first match that we've seen under the new rules from UEFA in the Champions League, given that the away goals rule now doesn't count. Some were saying that that contributed to what we saw from Real Madrid, in that they went into this game looking for a 0-0 draw. Do you think that had anything to do with the tactics that we saw employed and the lack of entertainment value, particularly what in the first half?
No, I think they went into it with a striker who wasn't fit. I think they went into it as a side who are not playing brilliantly, who are not playing with a lot of pace in La Liga at the weekends, who have been kind of just getting by with some brilliance from Benzema when fit and from Vinicius Junior in particular. And I think they've had a midfield three that have played a lot. They gave Modric a rest at the weekend. He came on as a sub. But those three in there are all older and have got a lot of miles in their legs. And so I think it was a kind of typical Real Madrid performance away at a talented side. I don't think it was anything to do with the away goals, to be honest with you. I think if Real Madrid could have gotten on the front foot,
yep,
and kept the ball a bit better and had a better final ball in behind and had a fit and sharp Benzema up front, maybe we'd have seen a better Real Madrid. I mean, we saw glimpses around, 75, 80 minutes when they got the ball forward, particularly down that right-hand side. But no, I personally don't think this was anything to do with the away goals. Otherwise, Man City might have sat in for a drill now, a 0-0 in Portugal.
Ali, what do you think?
Real Madrid has played this game of absorbing pressure against mid-table teams in La Liga over the course of the season. This is the way they've approached matches at times in which, in fact, they should be superior to teams, and instead they choose to be conservative, in that we're going to absorb pressure and then we're going to get out in transition. Well, if we know that, and we have watched Real Madrid as much as we have, I'm sure that Pochettino also had figured that out. And so who's going to be the source of transition for Real Madrid? It's not going to be Karim Benzema, because we just established that he had no mobility in the game. So it's going to have to be Vinicius. And it was very clear for me to see that when Hakimi was getting higher up the field, well, that was forcing Vinicius to go and defend. But also, once Hakimi decided to go forward, there was an automatic movement of Danilo getting himself from the midfield onto that space to cover for Hakimi, cutting out whatever transition Real Madrid were going to have. And then, in order to have any sort of transition, well, you need to complete the first pass out of pressure. And Real Madrid were unable to do that. And so what was conservative approach in terms of absorbing pressure became a team that got pushed back. And in being pushed back, they were too far away from PSG's goal in order for them to be able to get out in that transition that I just mentioned. The other thing that I would say for Real Madrid and their possession, it took them until the 40th minute to actually have a long period of possession, knock the ball around, use the midfield three, get out in the front foot and actually push PSG back. And you say, okay, well, maybe this is how it's going to look the rest of the game. No. It took until the 80th minute to then again have a long period of possession. Real Madrid, if they don't have the ball with the midfield three and they don't have transition, they don't have anything.
Frank, you messaged me saying, I told you about Karim Benzema. I need to block you.
No, because yesterday, yeah, we talked about Karim. And I say, name me a player who just came back from a quite big injury and being efficient, even if he was one of the best players in the world. It doesn't exist because you need to be physically at 100% to express your talent. Gianfranco Zola, that I had the chance to play with, said to me, if I'm not physically at 100%, I'm not Gianfranco Zola, because I need all my power to be technically good and to be clever on all the action that I do because I play at front. And that's the case for Benzema. He needs to be fit. So I think it was stupid, it was risky to put him today. He didn't serve the club, he didn't serve his team, he didn't help his teammate, and he put his health in danger. So it's why yesterday I say he won't bring anything, and we had the evidence today.
So why, with the experience that Carlo Ancelotti has, did he take that risk?
Well, he's obviously listened to the player. And the player doesn't always know best. And we know that particularly through concussion protocols.
Right.
The player generally will always try and pick himself off the floor if he can and carry on. And I think it boils down to two things, discussions between the medics, the player, and then the manager. But he looked to me, and I said this earlier, he looked to me like a player who was worried about screwing up the rest of his season.
Yeah.
Worried about screwing up the next couple of months, which are going to be huge for Real Madrid. The La Liga race is not over by any stretch at the moment, and if he goes out of it, it's going to be even tighter. And if they were playing for a draw, which, that, as we've already said, it was not the case, they could have stuffed, you know, Jovic or Bale up there anyway and just said, just go and stand up there with defence. So, yeah, that's the first thing I said to you when we came in, I said, is Benzema playing?
Yeah.
First thing I said, and you said, yeah, he starts. And I was surprised. Big risk. Hopefully, from their point of view, he hasn't picked any injury up. I don't think so. He never get into full stride. But in 2 weeks' time, he needs to be in better shape,
of course.
For sure.
Yeah, well, let's talk about 2 weeks' time. Ali, who's going through?
PSG. We've already established that Casemiro suspended. Ferland Mendy suspended. Neymar will be back. PSG, Mbappe, Messi, and the rest of that team were far superior to Real Madrid, and there was no evidence today from Real Madrid that they could be better than PSG and that they could overcome this deficit. I just don't see enough from Real Madrid. I don't see enough out of the midfield three. I don't see them being the dominant force that we think they are. We certainly see that with more consistency in La Liga. We don't see that against a team like PSG. And then you have to get more productivity or any productivity from Vinicius Junior, from Karim Benzema, from Marco Asensio. In order to have that, you need to have the ball. And I don't think that Real Madrid will do enough to have the ball.
Frank, you were also messaging me telling me that you told me that PSG were going to go through.
You've been sending a lot of messages.
I know.
Yes. And I said that yesterday during the show. And on top of it, you know, winning 1-0 the first leg will allow them to wait a little bit for Real Madrid and to play in counter-attack. How do you cope with Mbappe or Neymar in counter-attack? Well, good luck, especially if you have Marcelo on the side. You know, they're all going to go there and they're all going to have fun.
Not all roads lead to PSG at the moment, particularly because, you know, for various reasons, but one, the suspensions, two, they're not playing well at the moment, they're not playing with a great pace, and three, they have to open up to a certain extent and not play, you know, stupidly open, brazen football, but they're going to have to play a bit more front foot than they did today in this game, and that's going to leave space in behind. So all roads at the moment are leading to PSG going through.
A lot more reflections on this game on the latest edition of Extra Time. Frank and Nadim with us, Craig, as well. You can, as always, check that out over on our YouTube channel, plus plenty of old Extra Times there as well for you to enjoy. Just a reminder, La Liga action for you tomorrow here on ESPN Plus. Atleti taking on Levante. Coverage of that game starts at 1 p.m. Eastern.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
Elsewhere in the Champions League, what a statement from the favourites, thrashing Sporting by 5-0. Four of those goals coming in the first half. As you welcome Nedim Anuna to the show. Nedim, what an opening 45 minutes this was from Pep Guardiola's side.
Yeah, it was crazy to say the least. I think the first goal, the timing of it, the nature of it, and the fact that everyone thought it was offside, it kind of subdued the crowd just that little bit. And then before you know it, there's a second, there's a third, there's a fourth. And all the goals, not like they were tap-ins or anything like that. And it was crazy because in the same breath, it wasn't as if City had a perfect performance. But as the game went on, the thing that really impressed me the most was the fact that, you know, they managed to remain incredibly professional. You look at the stats there, and Sporting didn't have a shot on target. And I think those three shots were all in the first half. So I think it was an incredibly professional performance. They were exceptionally clinical. And tactically, I think they just got it right. I think for Lisbon, they wanted to play what looked to me was like a 3-4-3. But the way the City were, they made it a 5-2-3. And those two central midfielders, the workload and stuff that they had to go through against people like Kevin De Bruyne, against Bernardo Silva, Sterling coming inside, Mahrez inside, Foden coming short, it was a nightmare for them. And I think as far as Champions League performances go, you know, it was incredible for City, and in some ways, you know, it's basically sorted out the second leg altogether, because you can't see Lisbon scoring anywhere near the amount of goals needed to sort of make it a tie come the second leg.
With the exception of Walker, who's of course suspended.
Well, I don't know, you know what they say, 5-0 is the most dangerous lead in football. Where does that come from? 2-0 is the most dangerous lead.
I suppose
it's a good side to play against. I mean, you've still got to go and do it. But with Walker, as you said, suspended, John Stones, I think he did it at the weekend, playing it right back again. Clearly, I mean, Stones is a very good footballer, so I think he can adapt. I don't have any doubt about that. He's not going to give you the natural instinct of a fullback going down the wide position. But yeah, I mean, that's a statement. But they've still got to do it when it really matters.
Right.
But it at least gives them some breathing space in terms of, you know, they could have taken their foot off the gas there. They don't really have to worry about the second leg now at all. And that's a very good position to be in, rather than going over there and making a meal of it, which clearly they didn't.
With the exception of John Stones, obviously, as I mentioned, Kyle Walker suspended. Is this his best 11, Nedim?
Yes, I would say so. I think they're in a really, really tough spot at the minute, because you've got people like Gundogan who aren't playing. He's very capable of being in this side, because earlier in the season he was doing exceptionally well. But you start to look at the forward line now and they're in good form. The midfield three have obviously been exceptional over the last couple of months. And Cancelo, you know, he's one of the first names on the team sheet. Diaz, Laporte, they're looking really, really good. And I think the thing for Pep and the way the City are, they do make changes on most weeks, to be honest. But these guys are in the rhythm now. Early in the season, they definitely all weren't, but now we're seeing a better version of KDB, seeing a better version of Sterling. Mahrez is coming out. I think he's got 16, 17 goals so far this season. And it was really impressive. They made probably 3 or 4 mistakes in the game, but say this team, they know exactly what they need to do in this game. They obviously scored the goals, but then they control the tempo, control the crowd. And like I say, a team at home in the last 16 of the Champions League had 3 shots total and a none on target. And that was pretty much for me down to the way that City played. So credit to them, credit to the 11. And, you know, the game plan was essentially perfect for today.
Jack Grealish injured. Raheem Sterling, of course, very much playing himself in.
Well, Jack Grealish, and we've had this discussion, all the boys pretty much, on here. I don't think there's any suggestion that he's been a disaster thus far, but this Jack Grealish at the moment is not going to cut the mustard in this City team. I've talked about it, everybody's talked about it. This is not a normal squad. You can be replaced in this team in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat, out, because the standards that have been set, particularly in the forward areas, and now obviously in the defensive areas as well, since the likes of Diaz come in, Cancelo's come in, it's an 8 or 9 out of 10 every week, or back on the bench.
Yeah.
And Jack Grealish has been okay, but okay at Man City with their aspirations and with what this coach wants is not going to be enough. On top of that, he's not quite had the phone call yet about what's expected of him in terms of his off-field as well. So when you put all that in the bag, Jack Grealish is not in the first 11, even if he's fully fit and available at the moment, because he hasn't done enough compared to other players in this City team. I think that's just factual.
And on top of that, Nathan, you've got Raheem Sterling showing flashes of his best once again.
Yeah, he certainly is. Again, it wasn't like a perfect performance today, but the goal was absolutely incredible. And off the back of scoring a hat-trick on the weekend, you can see that he's getting things rolling. And you see him, you see Mahrez. I think they're the top two scorers for the club so far this season. So as Craig is alluding to there, like, Grealish doesn't just walk straight back into this side, especially when the players are playing as well as those guys are right now. So Sterling, you know, is great. I think he became the 10th highest goal scorer for Man City tonight with the goal that he scored. Scored over 100 goals in the Premier League. He scored more goals than Didier Drogba in the Premier League, which is kind of mind-blowing. So credit to him for reaching those achievements and having those accolades, especially because it's not like he's 32, 33 years of age as well. So Sterling feels like he's coming back in for City. You know, it's a joy because most of the trophies that they've won across the years, when he's anywhere near their best, they always seem a lot more attainable. So good luck to him.
I think for Sterling, it's end product, isn't it? He does so many good things, and his end product has certainly improved at Man City. There's no doubt about that. The goals, and Nathan will say the stats will back it up. I think he had a few players had a quiet period earlier this year, but he's come over that. And I think that's the difference. One of the differences with Grealish is at times there's lots of nice tippy-tappy stuff, and particularly early on in the season, all the fouls on him. But I think at this club at the moment, with where they are, they need something tangible at the end.
Right.
And it ain't happening for him.
No.
Every time I see him play, I rarely, if ever, think he's going to score. I rarely, if ever, think he's going to play a killer pass. But I do know he's going to get it and just pop it off to the side or do whatever. And there's others in the Man City team that can do that. This City side is about end product. We've seen Bernardo Silva starting to do it. Raheem Sterling scores goals. De Bruyne's form is back on top. You've got Foden who can come in. Riyad Mahrez, who is always a bit of a wand on that left foot, cutting in from the right. So, I'm sorry, Jack Grealish is not even in the equation at the moment, apart from potentially to come off the bench.
What if they had a striker? Right.
But this is a funny conversation, because people say, I don't think we ever said Man City won't win anything if they don't get a striker, but clearly City felt... Right, well, let me put it one way. City tried to buy a striker in the summer.
Yeah.
Went out quite hard for Harry Kane. That tells you that they thought they needed somebody in that position. When it became untenable in terms of the price, they went back and said, OK, we'll go with what we have in the manner in which we did last year. That's fine, and I get that, and it's working great at the moment. But people should not forget that City went out to try and buy a striker in the summer. In fact, did buy a striker in the January transfer window.
Right.
And the young lad who's going to be coming in from Argentina.
Don says Harry Kane's still going. Don't worry. It's still going to happen.
He's dining out on that still.
meanwhile, of course, one of City's rivals for the Champions League and domestically the Premier League kick off their Champions League knockout stage campaign on Wednesday. Liverpool, huge favourites to go through against Inter Milan. They've already, of course, gone to Milan in the group stages, got a great result there against AC Milan. They'll be at full strength for this tie on Wednesday. Inter struggling a little bit, obviously, lost the Milan derby, could only manage that draw at the weekend. It's difficult, isn't it, to put up an argument against Liverpool here?
I think it'll be tighter than people will imagine. Obviously, Dzeko up front with Martinez is a different partnership than last year with the power of Lukaku. But Dzeko's a very good footballer. I think he's got 10 goals in Serie A or thereabouts. He's always a threat. I just feel if they play three at the back, which they normally do, that could be pulled apart a little bit. It's right to say I think Liverpool are favourites, the way that we know they can play. But I don't for one second think this is a foregone conclusion.
Right.
I really don't.
Do you agree, Nathan?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think I fancy Liverpool heavily across the two games. But this game in particular here, I'm not 100% set that it's just going to be a walkover for them. I think if they can sort of set the tempo themselves and sort of dictate their style of play upon Inter, then I think great. But can you really be doing that at the San Siro against a side who are, you know, essentially trying to get back to the top of the league in Serie A? So I think it'll be tight. I still kind of fancy Liverpool in this game, but I think it'll be tight. And if it ends up being a draw, I also wouldn't be surprised, to be honest.
The other tie on Wednesday is Salzburg against Bayern, big favourites.
Well, I'm not off the back of that defeat.
Well, against Bochum. Bochum. Yeah, exactly.
Which people
Bayern,
get huge, super excited about it.
Huge favourites to go through the next round. Derek Ray, of course, very excited about what happened at the weekend. You can catch up with me and him chatting about that surprise.
And why wouldn't you?
Bochum and looking ahead to the Champions League tie.
Not Bochum.
Just go over to ESPN SC on our YouTube channel and check it out.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Big win for Manchester United in the Premier League today at Old Trafford, defeating Brighton by 2-0. They were far from their best, whatever that is, these days. But a brilliant goal from Cristiano Ronaldo 6 minutes into the second half would give them the lead. Bruno Fernandes later on in the 97th minute guaranteeing the 3 points. What that means is Man United are fourth in the table. That takes them above West Ham, two clear of David Moyes' side. They are now four clear of Arsenal. Arsenal, though, do have 3 games in hand as we welcome in Nadim Anua to the show. Nadim, how do you sum up this game?
You know, in some ways it felt very similar to the games which they've had recently, but the fact is they managed to get the result, and that's ultimately going to be the biggest thing, isn't it? I think the fact that they're able to get a result like this without playing particularly well, I think they have to take that as a positive. It could be very easy to bring in the doom and gloom and see some of the chances that they missed and some of the general play. But they want to be a winning outfit, and it's not always going to be about performance. And I think in this now, maybe they can find some sort of confidence with it. And to be in fourth place, maybe this is the start of a positive run. You know, you see the setup that they're going for now, and it's not, say, the performances that maybe we all thought would exist under Ranić. But winning football is winning football, and if they can find a few more results like this, then maybe they can gain some sort of belief in the system and belief in the momentum, and belief that they can find momentum again, because recently it's certainly not been there.
And it's that Ronaldo spark that they've been lacking of late just to carry this team, shone today and needed to.
I think that's kind of telling when Nadim's saying if you know, maybe they can find a way to get some winning runs together, some consistency, some results. Because I'm not going to lie to you, we were concentrating on the Real Madrid PSG game. We had the Man City game on, we had the United game on. And I said to you at one point in the first half, have United been out the half yet?
Yeah.
At half-time, it was the same old, it was poor. But, as Nedim said, it's 3 points. And they just, listen, they just need 3 points. They need to get some results. How they play is analysed more in defeat.
Right.
I think they can sort of, let's be frank about it, they're papering over the cracks here with the manager, with this playing squad, with these performances. But as long as they can paper over the cracks and buy themselves a bit of time, that's all they need. But I think if they play like that more often than not, they're probably not going to be in the top four. So they're going to, even though Tottenham have been bad, even though West Ham had to fight back for a 2-2 draw at Leicester, even though the others have got the games in hand, so there's no guarantee, United are going to have to play better and with more consistency if they're going to get in the top four. This kind of scraping out results or points here and there, I don't think is going to get the job done.
Frank, what did you make of the red card?
Well, for me, it's not, because you have one player being able to cover. So as long as he can, you know, I don't see the point of giving a red card to the player. If I can mention one thing, you know, we always talked, you know, for the last decade of the rivalry between Ronaldo and Messi. And quite funny, I was watching, of course, Paris Saint-Germain, Real Madrid at the same time. And while Messi was missing his penalty, Ronaldo was scoring at the same second. That was very fun to watch on the two screen that I have. The two, you know, having a different destiny, I would say. And one thing, because I love my French commentators, so I love to name them. But one of them found that Pogba delivered a fantastic assist today to Bruno Fernandes. I couldn't stop laughing at it, you know.
Yeah, put that on the assist.
But I think I think the classic case is Frank balances up the demise of Ronaldo and Messi.
Yes.
I think it's a classic case descending off. Our initial reaction was that when Lewis Dunk got caught in possession, that there was a covering defender going to get there.
Yeah.
And I think that was the initial instinct of the referee. But I think what we have is a classic case of VAR getting involved and putting a seed of doubt in the referee.
Once he went over to the monitor.
So once he goes to the monitor, he's already thinking, well, he thinks upstairs it might be a red, so blah, blah. And I think from that perspective, Brighton certainly could have a complaint, because I think if there's an element of doubt that the Alanga was going to get there, then I don't think you can give a red card. And I think there was a huge element of doubt that the defender was going to get there.
What do you think, Nathan?
Yeah, to be honest, I kind of have to disagree on this one, because I did think it was a red card. I think in real time, I thought he's in trouble. And then I watched the VAR back. I thought, yeah, so it's a red, because the defender's able to come round, because Alanga literally has no momentum in terms of like his chase towards that ball. So it feels like the guy is already there. But then when you really think about it, Alanga's probably going to have 2-3 yards to catch up to the ball if he was able to be able to go there without being pulled, without being fouled, essentially. So I see it, and he's having a shot basically just inside the box. So it made sense to me, and it's disappointing. But then I suppose on the other side of it is, you know, someone like Dunk shouldn't necessarily be making those sorts of mistakes that can cost his team like that. But I could see why it was a red card, and I think overall it's probably a fair decision.
Just a reminder, if you ever miss a show, you can download our daily podcast, which is available over on the website. Not only is it the audio version of the programme, but plenty of bonus material for you as well.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Carlos Vela and Chicharito join Seven Herc for what is the 100th edition of Football Americas. Be sure to check that out on ESPN+. And it's not long now until the She Believes Cup kicks off. That all starts on Thursday, 11 p.m. Eastern on ESPN, as the US women's team take on the Czech Republic. That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show.
100 episodes, Football Americas, and not one invite.
Oh, you're disappointed with
that? No, actually, I'm quite sad.
Be sure to stay tuned. Extra time, we talk about the reaction to Craig's rant about the plastic cup. Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for... what are you doing with your hands?
Why does Nicol always go like this?
I don't know. I don't really know.
I was watching yesterday or the day before. Can't remember.
It's excited. He's pride. He's got shovels for
those,
hands.
Those big mitts just go on the desk. It's like...
Craig is here. Nadim as well. Frank LaBeouf join us. Ronaldo scores whilst Messi misses. GOAT debate settled, right, Craig?
Go to Frank. Frank will tell you.
Frank was all about it in the show. You're watching both games at the same time. Of course, as Messi's penalty is saved, Ronaldo scores. Is that it? Ronaldo's better than Messi for you now, Frank?
Nah, it doesn't mean anything. It's just a coincidence. It was just funny to mention it. And that's it. One was playing a Champions League game. The other one was playing a Premier League game. So nothing to compare. They're absolutely two fantastic players that we all will remember about. But it was just a coincidence. It was just funny.
That's why you have to pick a side.
That's why he missed the penalty.
Why is that?
He went, oh, Ronaldo just scored.
No, Ronaldo scored after him. That's what inspired
Ronaldo.
Yeah,
but he always thinks ahead.
Right, I see. That was it.
Well, saw that
someone
coming.
Someone said, oi, Messi missed the pen. That's it.
Maybe Messi's been watching Ronaldo play recently.
Maybe. Nathan, where do you stand on the old Messi-Ronaldo job?
Oh.
I'm asking, people care.
Oh gosh, this is asking for trouble. It's literally just asking for trouble. All I'll say is I'm pretty sure Messi's not checking for Man United scores after every one of his games, so it doesn't matter. You pick your poison. I like Messi, so what? Who's the best? They're both fantastic players.
How do you know it, Nathan? Maybe Messi's a gambler, maybe
it's got
maybe,
money on
maybe he's putting a bet on.
That's illegal, Craig. That's illegal. Oh, he's not a gambler. Oh, that's illegal.
Yes.
No, right. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah. He's not allowed to, is he?
No, he's not allowed to, no.
No. Clearly.
A number of players got into trouble for that.
Why? Hold on a second. Messi cannot gamble on Ronaldo's goal against Brighton if he's not belonging to the same championship?
I don't that's think insane. So. Well, there we go.
We're not sure. We shouldn't get into it.
Well, that's all right. We're already out. Stop us. Is Shaka paying for your heating bill? Is that, why have you got your jacket on, Nathan?
Because I've got an issue with the shirt. I'll just zip it. Just don't pay any attention. Don't worry about it. Please, just carry on. Carry on. Don't worry about it.
What's the picture? What's it, does it say I hate Craig on it? Or what does it say?
No, I don't have any of those yet. I was doing something for Man City earlier, so it might have some branding on it. So I'm just trying to keep it low key. I don't want to be an obvious shill.
Well, clearly.
Selling those T-shirts outside Stamford Bridge. Mm.
They've sold out of those. There's a question about that in a moment, though. Before we get to that, Frank Hakimi put Vinicius in jail tonight. Is he the best at his position in the world?
If he's not, he's one of the best. You know, he shot after like two minutes. There was a ball, a deep ball from Real Madrid behind Hakimi. And we thought that Vinicius Junior was fast, but Hakimi is faster. And as after 2 minutes, he showed to Vinicius that it would be a very hard 90 minutes for him. Hakimi is absolutely fantastic. Just came back from the AFCON. He showed to the world how talented he is. Nobody has doubts about that, but he's just confirmed today, that defensively he did the job and he pushed Vinicius to go to defend because he was attacking too.
Mm. This, go on.
No.
This, of course, is the first time you've been can we talk about your viral diatribe?
What I liked about Hakimi was that you see, sometimes you see defenders in general, but with Vinicius Junior dropping off. I know you don't want to hear this because you want to get to the other thing. and allowing players like Vinicius to push into the box, but he came out and got tight to him.
Right.
Get to you.
Well, it's just the first time you've been on since your Chelsea rant went viral.
Yeah, and?
The reaction to it has been fantastic.
Well, I know, but everybody else gets... But to me, it's water off a duck's back. I generally don't care.
Yeah. I enjoy it.
Oh, yeah.
And I enjoy all the abuse that you've been getting.
I don't mind, but people got to understand. It's like hitting me with a feather brush. It really doesn't matter to me. I have no vested interest in any club, so I have no...
People can't believe you're so bitter after something that happened in 1997.
Well, no. But see, people, and I've said this all through my broadcasting career, I've said people cannot differentiate between bitterness and honesty.
Right.
Right. They can't. People can't take the truth. People want to hear some...
Oh, can I...
Conjure
can I say something to defend Craig?
Please don't
bit.
Defend Craig, Frank. He doesn't
I,
need
I,
a defence.
No. I know Craig for 25 years. I know the kind of person he is. He's honest. He's not bitter. Never been bitter. No, no, he's not angry. I know what happened in 97, and we've talked about that for many years, but he is really a guy who would only say what he thinks. And as what he only still thinks. And if he thinks that Chelsea is the best club in the world, and if that competition is the best competition in the world, he will say it. I disagree with what he said, because I think the players, the fans, and the club have the right to be happy about what he called a plastic cup. And I won the European Super Cup with Chelsea. It counted for me. For some people, it's not interesting, and it's what I think of what Craig thought about it. But it doesn't matter. Everybody has the right to think differently.
I was more talked. Yeah, I was more sort of pointed to the current 16-point gap at the top of the major competition, which is the title fight, supposedly with Man City, that's going to boil down to potentially Liverpool now. But honestly, and that makes me laugh that people think that 20-odd years later, you still give an analysis off the back of a football decision or a manager's decision. And I've always said this, and people can't quite get their thick heads around it. It's not football clubs that make decisions. Yeah. It's individuals within those clubs at that particular time. And guess what? All those individuals move on. It's not the club.
Yeah.
It's a manager at that time or an executive at that time. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's about an honest analysis. So
it just sounds bitter, angry, bad tipper. They're all there.
Oh yeah, I saw that one.
Nadim.
Even the old apprentices are coming out.
Nadim said on the Gabagels podcast that City would rather win the Club World Cup and be 16 points behind in the title race because that would mean they won the Champions League. Craig, would you still say it's a plastic cup?
Well, no, I think the point is Man City want to... I don't think Man City have got any thoughts about winning the Club World Cup. They've got thoughts about winning the Champions League.
Right.
That just comes as the extra tin pot on the top of it.
Sure.
So, the Manchester City owners are looking for domestic domination, which they generally have had, particularly recently, and they're looking for the same thing PSG and their owners are looking for. That is to win the Champions League. Now, when you go on, if that takes you off to flaff around and some plastic cup at the end of it, then so be it.
Nadim, I'm surprised you had enough time to talk over Gav to make that point.
Yeah, come on. Gav's good. Gav's good. And it's his show. I'm just filling in. You know what I mean? But I think Craig gets my point. You know, the fact is for City, they would have loved to have been at the tournament for the first time because of what it signifies, the fact that they've won a Champions League. The league situation, if they were 16 points behind, they'd be disappointed. But it's no secret that Man City have a huge desire to win the Champions League. So whatever comes off the back of that, you know, that's a consequence that I'm sure they're more than happy to take.
Am I giving people material here?
Yes.
Basically, can none of these other platforms think about their own material start coming off the back of something that I said?
Well, it's quite a weekend.
It was quite a weekend.
Dan, what disturbs me the most is that some players have to play those games, like I played the European Super Cup, where they didn't win the trophy that the club won the year before, which is completely insane. Like Lukaku, he scored the goal in the Club World Cup where he didn't win the Champions League. And I remember teasing Marcel Desailly because he signed straight after and came and played against Real Madrid the European Super Cup. I said, well, what are you doing here? You didn't win the Cup, Winners' Cup, so you don't deserve to be here. It was just a joke. That's the thing about comparing Manchester City, for me, what Craig just said, comparing Manchester City and Chelsea, you are comparing the present against the past. Because winning the Champions League was winning it the last season. So you just play that the season after. And nothing has to be compared with the present time and the point that you have in the Premier League.
Let me give you some context here. Okay. For those people who just get on social media and just have to vent their anger at somebody. The bread and butter, and Liverpool have been chasing this up until the last couple of years when they finally got over the line again, first time in, I think, 30 years. The bread and butter is your domestic league, which I repeat, Chelsea are currently 16 points off the lead with a game in hand, having brought in one of the most expensive and informed strikers in Europe off the back of a Serie A title. You don't do that to win the Club World Cup and be 16 points behind. Let's be frank about it. Last year was brilliant, him coming in and winning the Champions League. But Frank will remember this. Chelsea won the Champions League when Roberto Di Matteo was interim manager. Mm-hmm. It's about the bread and butter. 38 Premier League games, the hard slog, all the cup games in between, coming back on a weekend, brushing yourself down, carrying the injuries and putting a title fight up. They have not done that. Unless Man City lose every game between now and the end of the season. That's the crux of this.
They're allowed to celebrate, aren't they?
Oh, no, no.
The players are allowed to celebrate.
They want fine.
They want a trophy.
A plastic one.
Well, you still win a trophy. Well,
I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what. We'll give them a trophy if we've been 16 points behind as well. Here's a medal.
They won the tournament. They can't be like, right, well, let's not celebrate because Craig was shouting at us.
Well, did you see who was in it?
Well, yes.
Well, exactly.
Have you ever been whistled by your own fans? I saw Bale's old clip about how fans booing only made it worse. Has the success of Real given the Madrid fans this liberty? Have you seen it live happening to other players?
Yeah.
When I was in Madrid, they whistled with everyone.
Yeah.
I'd seen Ronaldo whistled. Yeah. I'd seen, as you mentioned, Bale.
Well, we all get whistled, particularly at Celtic, when things didn't go well. At Derby, when we had a lot of kids, some of the senior players got it. I saw Gary McAllister get abused, is the wrong word. I saw him get whistled and booed playing for Scotland. When I played in a qualifier, it was at Celtic Park because Hampden was been renovated and the fans turned on him.
Right.
Maybe, I don't know if it was to do with the fact, and this is completely wrong, because Gary missed the penalty at Wembley in the game against England.
Okay.
A sense that there was a carryover from that, which is a nonsense, because we've just done a game tonight where one of the best players on the planet, if not the best, Lionel Messi, misses a penalty. But I saw it with Gary, and he had to take that, and I thought it was pretty shameful.
You been whistled, Nathan? QPR?
Yeah. Everyone at QPR got whistled at some point, but there's a story in particular. There were two guys, so we'd just been relegated with QPR, and Jose Bosingua had just signed, well, he'd signed at the start of the season. This is after they'd won the Champions League. And in fairness, for as good as he was at times, he never really bought in. I think he just wanted to stay in his house in West London and then just go and play for another team, so it's more convenience. But he checked out, the fans turned on him, he got booed so heavily one game. But he loved it, he loved playing the villain, and that was the strangest thing. And then there was another guy, Stefan Mbia, who had come from Marseille, I think as part of like a swap loan deal for Joey Barton. And as we were just about to get relegated, Stefan Mbia thought that he was going to be funny, so he sent a tweet to Joey Barton asking, can we swap back now? And as you can imagine, that didn't go down too well amongst the QPR fans in the last home game of the season, where they let him know exactly where he needs to go.
I bet, that's brilliant. Frank, you whistled?
Yes, twice. Once at Stamford Bridge when Vialli was sacked and some of the fans thought that I was guilty for
Vialli.
That.
You're Frank.
You're actually more hated than me, Frank.
Let's not stretch it.
Yeah, you know, I had that power to sack the coach. I was so powerful at Chelsea that I was the only one being able to sack Vialli, for sure. And the second time is when I came back to Strasbourg, the club that I really love, and I spent 5 years there. I came back as a Marseille captain, and they booed me for the entire game. He hurt me. I have to say that I was hurt by that, but because I think I didn't deserve it. But it's part of the game, you know. That's what it is. But when I come back to Strasbourg now, no, it's okay. We have a beer together, and it's fine.
Final question. Craig, who was the most annoying player you ever shared a dressing room with, and why was it Frank?
No, Frank wasn't.
Oh, my God. Frankie. Oh, my God.
Give me some time, will you, for these
guys? Oh, yeah? For annoying... Where are we going, Nathan? Joey Barton?
Do you know what? I try not to speak his name too much, yeah, but probably him. But aside from that, when I was younger, I'd say Ben Thatcher when I was at Man City because he was a massive joker. But unfortunately, at the time, I was like still kind of in school. So when they were burning my school books and then hiding people's boots and cutting people's clothes up, it's probably like not what you need as a young man entering the professional ranks now.
No, that sounds about right. What about you, Frank?
I have nobody in mind, I have to say. I was quickly going into my old memories, but nobody that I remember. Maybe, you know what, I will name in terms of annoying, somebody very respectful, very nice to everybody, clean, everything, Roberto Di Matteo. He was annoying in that way, that he was too perfect.
He was too perfect.
He was never a hero at a place.
Really?
Yeah.
Just like that, everything was perfect. Yeah?
Yeah, Mr. Well.
You would have definitely burnt Needham's school books.
Oh.
Definitely cut from that club.
Oh, there was a lot used to go on.
I bet. I can imagine.
A lot used to go on in the dressing rooms. I had people tying stuff under my car to, when I would drive for work.
Brilliant.
Onto the exhaust pipe and everything. Just got to be on your toes. Got to be on your... You've got to fix your wing mirrors on when you're in the dressing room.
And when there are a lot of fishes deposited in cars as well, I seem to remember those.
That was a Ranger story, yeah. There was some dead fish deposited in cars. Oh. And there was some deposited in a part of the car that they find, thinking they had solved the mystery, when there was other bits of dead fish tucked away in a part of the car that you would never found.
Is that Gaza?
Gaza.
Wow. All right, that is it. Thank you very much, guys. ESPN FC will be back on your screen tomorrow. Of course, the Champions League continues. The big tie there, Inter taking on Liverpool.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate is to not search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/FC. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.